Welcome to a deep dive, into Meditations by René Descartes.
Ooh, okay.
One of the most influential works in Western philosophy.
Yeah.
And I know philosophy can sometimes feel a bit intimidating,
Right.
but this isn't just about like dusty old ideas, right? This
Nah.
is more like a journey
Yeah.
into how one brilliant mind
Yeah.
grappled with some of the biggest questions about knowledge and reality and just what it means to be human.
Absolutely.
And honestly, who hasn't had those moments where you just kind of questioned everything you thought you knew?
Yeah, I mean, what's really captivating about Meditations is how Descartes structured it.
Okay.
Imagine you're reading somebody's intellectual journal as they work through all these
Okay.
profound questions.
Okay.
It's not some polished argument. It's
Yeah.
just like this raw and honest
So I
exploration
like that.
of doubt and discovery.
Okay, so before we dive into the mind-bending stuff,
Yeah.
let's talk about Descartes himself.
Okay.
I mean, his path to philosophy was
Yeah.
anything but typical.
Right.
I mean, he had a law degree.
Right.
He served in the military.
Yeah.
And you might be surprised to learn
Okay.
he may have even witnessed the Battle of White Mountain firsthand.
Wow.
So this unconventional background, I think, probably really influenced his unique perspective
Yeah.
on knowledge and, just how we can be certain of anything at all.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Descartes was deeply skeptical of
Yeah.
traditional scholarship and the
Uh-oh.
blind faith that people placed in authority figures.
Interesting.
He was living during the 30 Years' War,
Right.
so a time of just immense upheaval and uncertainty.
Wow.
And think about how that kind of parallels our own world today,
Okay, yeah.
with information overload and the constant struggle to discern truth from fiction.
Right, yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Descartes wanted to find a foundation
Okay.
for knowledge that couldn't be shaken,
Yeah.
even amidst chaos and doubt.
So how did he go about doing that?
Well, his approach was radical.
Okay.
Imagine deciding to just demolish all your pre-existing beliefs,
Wow,
like
yeah.
everything.
Everything.
Even the things that seemed most certain
Oh, wow.
were on the chopping block.
Okay.
This is what he called the method of doubt.
The method of doubt. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. So,
So the brilliance of this method, I think, lies in its systematicity.
okay.
He wasn't simply questioning things that seemed obviously false.
Right.
He was doubting
Okay.
even the most basic, seemingly undeniable truths.
Like what?
Well, for example,
Okay.
have you ever woken up from a dream so vivid
Hey,
that you
yeah.
questioned whether you were still dreaming?
Yeah.
Descartes used this very idea to push the limits of doubt,
Okay.
asking, what if we are always dreaming?
Whoa.
What if our senses are constantly deceiving us?
Trippy.
Yeah, and it gets even wilder.
Okay.
He even considered the possibility of a deceitful God
Well.
who intentionally misleads us.
Okay, now you might be thinking,
Wait, wasn't Descartes a devout believer?
and he was,
Okay, so.
but his method required him to doubt everything,
Okay.
even the existence of a benevolent God.
Wow, so he's going all in.
Exactly. These thought experiments, as unsettling as they might seem,
Right.
they force us to confront the limitations of our senses
Okay.
and the possibility that even our most deeply held beliefs
Yeah.
could be wrong.
Wow.
It's a challenge to kind of step outside our comfort zones
Yeah.
and question what we think we know.
But if we can doubt everything,
Right.
then how can we be certain of anything at all?
That is the question.
Yeah.
This is where Descartes' famous declaration comes into play.
Okay.
Cogito ergo sum.
I think, therefore, I am.
Or I think, therefore I am.
Yeah, we've all heard that.
Right. You've probably heard this phrase before.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is how he arrives at this conclusion.
Okay.
He uses the very act of doubting
Yeah.
as proof of the doubter's existence.
I see. So there has to be something doing the doubting.
It's a powerful insight.
Yeah.
Even when we question everything, the
Yeah.
very act of questioning
Okay.
reveals something fundamental
Okay.
about our own being.
What's that?
There must be a thinker,
Okay.
a mind or self,
Yeah.
doing the doubting.
Okay.
This was Descartes' first unshakable truth,
Oh.
the bedrock of his entire philosophy.
Wow. So even if we can't be certain about the physical world,
Right.
we can be certain of our own minds.
Exactly.
But what exactly is a mind?
Yeah.
Descartes explores this further with his example of the melting wax.
Okay, think about a melting candle.
I'm thinking about it.
The wax changes shape, texture,
Okay.
even smell,
Okay.
but you still know it's the same wax.
Yeah.
Descartes uses this example to show us that it's not just our senses that tell us about the world.
I see.
It's our minds that make sense of this changing information
Yeah.
and grasp the essence of things.
So we're not just passively receiving information. Our
Exactly.
minds are actively creating our reality.
That's a really great point.
Yeah. So how much of what we experience as reality
Right.
is actually our own minds constructing meaning?
It's a question that still resonates today,
Yeah.
especially as we navigate a world saturated with information and virtual experiences.
Absolutely.
Now, after establishing the existence of his own mind,
Okay.
Descartes tackles another fundamental question:
Which is?
does God exist?
Ooh, big one.
He employs several arguments,
Yeah.
one of which is known as the trademark argument.
Okay. The trademark argument.
Imagine a craftsman
Okay.
leaving their mark
Yeah.
on a piece of work.
Like their signature.
The idea is that our concept of a perfect God, an
Okay.
idea we hold in our imperfect minds,
Right.
couldn't have originated from us.
Okay.
It must have been implanted to us by that very perfect
I
being,
see.
like a divine trademark.
Okay. So our very idea of perfection points
Yeah.
towards the existence of a perfect being.
Right. But I mean, couldn't you also say that our idea of perfection is simply a human construct,
Yeah.
a product of our own imaginations? That's
Exactly.
a valid point.
Yeah.
Descartes' arguments for God's existence have been debated for centuries.
I bet.
Some find them compelling, others find them flawed.
Right.
It's up to each individual to grapple with these ideas
I
and
see.
reach their own conclusions.
And that's what makes studying philosophy so intriguing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not just looking for definitive answers. You're
Yeah.
engaging in the process of questioning and exploring these big ideas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This brings us to a really fascinating question.
Okay.
If God is this perfect and benevolent being, as Descartes believes,
Yeah.
why do we humans make mistakes?
Right. If our creator is all-knowing and wants the best for us,
Right.
where does human fallibility fit in?
This is what he called the problem of error.
The problem of error.
Yeah.
It seems like a contradiction.
Descartes wrestled with this too.
I bet.
And his explanation hinges on the concept of free will.
Okay, free will.
He argues that our intellect, our capacity to understand, is inherently limited,
Okay.
but our will, our ability to
Yeah.
choose, isn't bound in the same way.
Okay.
We have the freedom to make choices
Right.
even when we don't fully grasp the implications.
Yeah.
And that's where error comes in,
Okay.
when our will overreaches the limits of our understanding.
So it's not that God sets us up to fail.
Right.
It's our own capacity for making less than perfect choices that
Exactly.
leads to error,
Yeah.
perhaps.
Okay.
I could definitely relate to that.
But it's important to note that this idea of error stemming from the misuse of free will,
Yeah.
it has significant implications.
Like what?
Well, it shapes our understanding of human behavior, morality, and even the nature of sin.
Okay.
It suggests a certain level of responsibility for our actions and choices,
Okay.
even when those choices are misguided.
That's a profound thought.
It is.
Now, ready for the really mind-bending part?
Okay.
Let's talk about Descartes' ideas on the mind-body connection. He was adamant that the mind and body are distinct substances, yet
Yes.
they somehow interact.
Right.
How does that even work?
This is where things get incredibly complex and controversial.
Yeah.
Descartes' dualistic view of mind and body
Okay.
ignited debates that continue to this day
Wow.
in philosophy and
I
neuroscience.
mean, think about it.
Right.
If the mind is separate from the body, how do they communicate?
Yeah. How do our thoughts translate into actions?
Right, and how do physical sensations influence our emotions?
It's like a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma.
So what did Descartes propose?
Well, he believed the pineal gland,
Okay.
this tiny structure in the brain, might be the seat of this interaction.
Okay.
However, even he acknowledged the difficulties in explaining this connection fully.
So he had the framework,
Yeah.
but the specifics were still fuzzy.
Right.
It's amazing how these questions he was grappling with centuries ago are still relevant today,
Absolutely.
especially as we delve deeper into areas like artificial intelligence.
Absolutely. Take, for example, the development of artificial intelligence.
Okay. Yeah.
If we can create a machine that mimics human behavior and decision-making, does that mean it also has a mind in the same way humans do?
Right.
Or is consciousness something entirely different, something uniquely human that can't be replicated in a machine?
Those are some big questions.
They are.
Descartes couldn't have predicted the rise of AI,
Right.
but his ideas provide a framework for thinking thinking through these modern dilemmas.
And it goes beyond AI.
Okay.
Descartes' work makes us question the very nature of being human.
Okay.
What does it mean to be a thinking thing?
Yeah.
Is it solely a product of our physical brains?
Yeah.
Or is there something more,
right,
something immaterial and unique to us?
You know, it's fascinating how Descartes' ideas from centuries ago, you know, still resonate with us today.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, let's dive into some listener questions that came in this week.
Okay. Sounds good.
This first one touches on a key aspect of Descartes' philosophy.
All right.
Descartes talks a lot about doubt, but didn't he eventually find certainty? What were those unshakable truths he landed on?
Yeah, that's an important point.
Okay.
Remember, Descartes wasn't aiming for perpetual skepticism.
Right.
His method of doubt was a tool.
Okay.
A way to clear away shaky beliefs and find a solid foundation for knowledge.
Okay. A spring cleaning of the mind.
Exactly. And he did arrive at certainties.
Like what?
Well, first, the undeniable existence of the self as a thinking thing.
Okay.
The cogito we discussed earlier.
Yep, I think, therefore I am.
And second, the existence of a perfect God, which he deduced from the very idea of perfection itself.
Right, because our imperfect minds couldn't have conjured up such an idea on their own.
Exactly. It had to come from a perfect source.
Okay, here's another question that I think a lot of us are wondering about.
All right.
Okay, so Descartes believed in God. But what about the soul?
Yeah.
Was he saying the soul is immortal?
Well, Descartes believed the soul, or the mind, is a separate substance from the body, as we discussed.
Right.
And because it's immaterial, it's not subject to the same laws of physics that govern the physical world.
Okay.
While he didn't explicitly set out to prove the soul's immortality in Meditations, his arguments strongly suggest that the soul could exist independently of the body even after death.
That makes sense if the essence of the self is this thinking thing,
right,
and that thing isn't bound by the physical limitations of the body.
Yeah.
It's not a huge leap to consider that it might outlive the body.
Right.
Okay, one last question, and this is a big one.
Okay, shoot.
How do Descartes' ideas impact us today? Are they just historical curiosities, or do they still have relevance in our modern world?
Well, Descartes' impact on philosophy, science, and even our everyday ways of thinking is profound and enduring.
Okay.
His emphasis on reason and the power of the individual mind helped usher in the Enlightenment and paved the way for modern science. And let's not forget his methodical approach to doubt.
Right.
It has profound implications for how we evaluate information and form beliefs.
Yeah.
In an age of information overload, fake news, and echo chambers.
It's like he gave us a blueprint for critical thinking.
Exactly.
Don't just accept what you're told. Question your assumptions. Dig deeper to find the truth.
Right.
And his mind-body problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's more relevant than ever as we explore consciousness, artificial intelligence, and the very nature of being human.
Precisely. Descartes' Meditations isn't just a philosophical text. It's a launching pad for exploring some of the most fundamental questions about ourselves and the universe we inhabit.
So if you're ready to challenge your own assumptions and dive deep into the nature of reality, I highly recommend picking up Meditations and taking that journey for yourself.
I agree.
And here's a final thought to leave you with.
Okay.
Descartes focused on the power of the individual mind.
Yeah.
But in our hyper-connected world, how much of our thinking is truly individual?
That's a great question.
How much is shaped by the constant flow of information, social media, and the digital landscape we navigate every day? Something to think about as you continue your own philosophical exploration. Until next time, keep diving.